There are some stories that you hear over and over again that after a while they lose their meaning. And one of those, I would say, is the prodigal son. I can't tell you how many times I have heard the story about the prodigal son. And actually, it shouldn't be listed as the prodigal son because there were two boys in this story and both had problems. It probably should be labeled a loving father. You remember the setting of the story? Jesus is talking and all the riffraff came to hear him. And he didn't send them away. All the people who were known to be sinners and the good religious people were very offended by this. After all, these folks did not go to the temple and offer sacrifices for their sins. In the modern day, they didn't recite a sinner's prayer. They just came to listen, and Jesus accepted them, and the religious folks were very offended. So he told them the story. And the story goes like this. There was a wealthy man and he had two sons. And the younger one comes to him and basically says, I wish you were dead. Because he said, I want my inheritance. You know, Dad, the stuff you were going to give me after you died, give it to me now. And so the story goes that he actually divided the inheritance between the two sons. So the older boy was not short shrifted. The elder child was given the same amount. He was given an inheritance along with the younger boy, but the younger boy went away. And it says that he squandered his money, he lived high, and he finally was destitute. And he realized that life was not so grand when you didn't have money. And that the very friends that he had when he had money all of a sudden deserted him, and he had to go and work on a pig farm. Now, I'm sure the people who were listening to this story thought, good, that's what he deserves. He's getting what he deserved. And then it says that he came to himself and he's rehearsing a speech that he's going to give to Dad. And so he's going to give this speech to Dad that he no longer deserves to be his son, but if he could just be his servant, because he knew that at least he would be well fed if he went back home, even if it wasn't in the role of a son. But the story goes that as the young man approaches home, Dad sees him and runs to greet him, throws his arms around him, and as the son starts his speech, Dad interrupts him, and he said, "Let's have a party." And of course, for anybody who has ever strayed, for anyone who has ever been loaded with guilt and felt that they really messed up in life, this story is for them. Because it talks about the Father's love. It talks about God's love who will embrace us no matter what and bring us back in. Now, there was a lady in my last congregation, a wonderful woman of God, a woman who had always done after she was in her 70s, and anytime we studied this particular passage, she would bristle. She was really the elder child, and she said, I don't know why Jesus gave this parable. This is just not right. The father should not have done that. He should have at least listened to his confession before he did this. I don't understand this at all. And I kind of relate to that, don't you? Some of us can relate to that. If we've always done the right thing, can't we relate to the older brother? And so this older brother, when he hears the party going on, boy, is he mad. And he's angry with the father. He's angry with the brother. And the father has to go out in the field to speak to that elder boy. And the young man says, I've always done everything right. I haven't gone out, and you've never thrown me a party. Can you hear, those of you who are parents, can you hear your children saying this? I know that my older siblings always have said to us, you got away with murder. You know, we did, we had to be, our parents were strict. I don't know what happened to them after you were born. Any elder children remember saying that? So he tells them, you've never thrown me a party. And the father says something that just hit me this time that I've read it. He said, son, everything I have had has been yours. You've been with me this whole time. And I realized what the message was to the older child, to those who have been in the church forever, to those who have never strayed. What is the message? That sometimes we take for granted the very means of grace that have been available to us day after day, year after year. We think that we've been the ones to toe the line, and yet God says, my grace has been here all the time. So growing up in the church, growing up in the faith, I never had to worry about my purpose in life because I knew that my purpose was to serve God, to love God, and to love my neighbor. I never had to worry about peace because I knew that Jesus gives me peace beyond all understanding. I didn't have to worry about forgiveness or guilt because I knew that when I messed up, I could come to God and receive his forgiveness and his love and his grace. I never had to worry that if I got into crisis, there wouldn't be a whole family around me. Wherever I went, the family of God who would uphold me and pray for me and take care of me. Now, there was one time, I remember in my 20s, when I felt like that older brother, and I was really wondering if Jesus was real, if my faith was real. We all go through that stage. And I remember tired of being good. I'm sick and tired of the Ten Commandments. I don't know if I really believe any of this stuff that I'm reading. And I'd really once in a while really want to be bad. And one of the ladies in the group took me aside later, and she said, I was the prodigal, and I knew her story. And she had done some really awful things in her life, especially in her youth. And she said to me, Dawn, it looks so alluring and it looks so wonderful, but I'm here to tell you, I suffered through that time. It was all a lie. And even coming back to the faith, I've had to deal with so many broken relationships and damage from that period of my life. She said, Dawn, you're so lucky that you haven't had to go through that. You see, for the older brother, we've had all the means of grace here. Let's not take for granted what we have. The prodigal had to figure that out. He had to go away and figure it out. This is a wonderful story for us today. Whether we feel riddled with guilt about our past, we know that God lavishes forgiveness and grace and brings us back. And if we've been good, quote unquote, for so many years, we can look back and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for the rules. Thank you for the things that kept me on the path so that I might continue to worship you. It's a wonderful story, not of a prodigal and his brother, but of God's graciousness to us all. Let us pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for those who have strayed from the path and you've brought them back with open arms. I thank you for those who have never strayed and you've kept them in your grace and your mercy and your power through every period of their lives. Help us as we move forward to avail of ourselves of every means of grace that you have given to us as we journey toward you. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you